Our job as operators is really to execute the business plan, not to buy the property, not to sell the property, but all of that. When we're taking on the property and we have a business plan that we sold that vision to our investors into these deals, it's our responsibility to execute that business plan to our best ability so that way we can have a good exit.
This is the naked truth about real estate investing. Your host, Javier, has already been through all the brain damage of this business, so you don't have to go through it. That way, you're not exposed to all of the risk of losing your shirt or getting caught with your pants down. So let's dive into another No BS episode right now.
Welcome to the Naked Truth About Real Estate Investing. I'm your host, Tim Mai, and I have my awesome co-host, Javier Hinojo.
I'm Javier Hinojo, guys, and this show is sponsored by the Hero Capital Raising Show. So,
awesome.
What's up on the topic today, Tim?
Our topic today is don't count your chickens before they hatch. A lot of operators out there, I see them post about closings. They celebrate closing, which is great. It's always great to celebrate your wins, right? However, buying a property is the very baby step into what really happens after that, right? And so we're going to dig into that. Like, where does the actual work begin, Javier? And when can we celebrate?
Oh, great. This is a great question. So before we even get started, it was so funny because you're from Vietnam. I was born in the States, but my first language really was Spanish. And then I learned English in West Texas, El Paso. So the English there is not like you would speak in North Carolina, right? Different words, different terminology, just because most of everybody that lived in El Paso, their English was not even their first language. Spanglish, yeah. So we're trying to figure out, is it chicken before your eggs, omelet before chicken? Like we grab ChatGPT and I'm like, what is that saying about your chicken and eggs hatching? And ChatGPT told us the name of our episode today. Don't count your chickens or whatever the heck it's called. Don't count your chickens before they hatch. There we go. And that's the right saying. It was so fun trying to figure out what it was. But anyways, as you mentioned, Tim, yeah, you should celebrate, right? You say, hey, I'm closing, et cetera. And then I see a few out there because that have been doing this for a while that celebrate their exits and great returns. So it's been like that. Great, because the market's been awesome. So I want to see people who bought in 21, 22, and 23 in the next 3 to 5 years. Let's see how many successful exits we have, right? Because we see them everywhere. But just buying the property is like the beginning. Yeah, I'm done. No, hell no. You can't see my gray hairs. That's where you get the sleepless nights. You get stuff not going well. You're having issues. Especially in multifamily and commercial real estate in general, you can say it's one of the only businesses that I know of that outsources their operations, right? Their main source of income, their operations, they outsource it to a third-party company who is not really vested in your success, right? They're going to get paid if you make money or not. You're going to pay for all the salaries, and you're going to pay still for a percentage of the gross rents. Even if you're losing money, you could be losing 100 grand every single month and they get paid. They will get paid. So that's why a lot of these multifamily buying companies, they vertically integrate, right? They have a construction wing, they have a property management wing, so they can have everything in house and everything runs really smooth. But it's really challenging to do if you only have 500 units, right? If they're all in your backyard, they're all in Houston, then it's easier. But then the salaries, you could put money out, and then it's another business. But we already manage the property management anyways. It's like a job. We're like babysit them anyways, and we're paying them. It's like, why are we even paying them? We can just hire our own people and we'll do a better job. Because if I need a report, Tim, if you work for me, you were my team, I say at 10 o'clock, hey, I need this report. You have it to me by the afternoon. Tell a property manager that I need a report. 3 days later, you get a report because they have 1,000 other clients, right?
Yep.
You know, the work just begins as soon as you buy the property, because you're going to have bad property managers, right? You're going to have, you know, bad construction crews or just construction issues. We're going through that one of our properties. We had to fire one of the general contractors, and that just slows the process down, right? That costs so much money to stop and start and try to negotiate what you owe, what you don't owe. And it's brutal, right? And so for anybody who has a successful exit and is an operator, like, it means a lot to me now because I've gone through it. I'm going through it now, but it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to get that property. Because you're married to it. You buy it. And if it's a five-year plan, you're married to that thing for 5 years.
Yep.
And you got to work it. So, yeah, don't count your chickens before they hatch, for sure.
Yes, for sure. I interview a lot of top operators. Talk to a lot of people, and I'll share one particular example. This is a very experienced operator, been in this business for 20 years, and this is his very first deal gone bad, and it's being foreclosed on, so it's all over the news. I feel so bad for the guy, right? But hey, even the best of us, if we don't watch it, and I know why too, but his mentor is someone who's very well known. I'm not going to mention any names or anything, but his mentor, this guy is a very operation hands-on guy. And he took on this mentor who's a very acquisition focused guy. And so this guy used to manage all of his properties. And his mentor, who's much greater than him, says, "Hey, look, why are you managing your properties? While you're in there dealing with all the bad stuff, I'm out here buying the next property." He switches focus. He outsourced the property management and focused on acquisition. And the property management company didn't do a good job. So by the time he gets back in, it's a bit too late. There's a number of things that happen. But the point being is that, and I say that to say, acquisition is great. Yes. And as operators, we do make some money from the acquisition side. But for our investors don't pay us to buy more properties. Our investors pay us to execute the business plan that they invested in. So that way, yeah. So that way we all get paid at the end. And so you can't, as operators, we can't just go out there and buy and ignore, or in some cases overlook. You can't just turnkey it over to a property management company and expect that they're going to do a good job. They're going to take care of the property like you would. They're going to execute your business plan like you would. No, they're not. Right? Like Javier said, they have 1,000 other clients to work with. And so, yeah, our job as operators is really to execute the business plan, not to buy the property, not to sell the property, but all of that. When we're taking on a property and we have a business plan that we sold that vision to our investors into these deals, it's our responsibility to execute that business plan to our best ability. So that way we can have a good exit. And man, yeah. And as investors, as passive investors, you do also want to look out for these things, right? If you're seeing someone who's buying a bunch of properties, but they don't have a good reputation with managing the properties, you definitely want to be careful with that. Another thing I want to share too, and so there's an operator, a different one. In his case, Javier, he's fully integrated. He has his own construction company. He has his own property management company. But here's the other part where there's a conflict of interest in that.
Yes.
And this happened. This actually happened during the COVID time. And so his construction company, so there's the syndication company, and then there's the construction company, separate companies, but all under one roof. So he has to feed the construction company as well. So during COVID, he continued to do the CapEx, the exit plan. But the bad part about it that pissed off so many of his investors was that he used up all the money on the CapEx and then do a capital call on the deal. And the investors got so mad about that. Luckily, they got right after COVID, obviously, the market shot up. They got out of the deal, barely broke even. Barely broke even on the deal. And so in a case like that, even when someone's fully integrated, Javier, like, how do we know to look for these things?
Yeah, so that's a great point. I'm glad you mentioned that, because that's true, right? If somebody's vertically integrated and they manage properties, not just, and they're a GP in that deal, and yeah, they manage properties for other people or other operators or other owners, right? And do construction for other people, for other owners. I don't know the circumstance of this particular situation, right? So I can't speak into it. I don't know who you're talking about. But one of the things is that there could be a conflict of interest, right? Maybe his job was to finish the CapEx. That was his job, so he got it done. But people can see it the wrong way, because they're like, the property's not making money, but since you make money on doing the CapEx, you got to feed your family. Business is down. So you make your money in the CapEx, right? Or a property manager that's collecting a fee, a management company collecting a fee for managing that project. And maybe they let go of that project because they got so many other projects. Or maybe even they start working on some other construction projects in priority because they're making more money than their syndication project. So you got to really be careful about that. I know some operators that only do construction management, like in-house. So they outsource the construction, right? But they have a construction manager. And so that can work very well because now at least you have somebody there on top of it every day. And then they're vertically integrated on their property management company, but they only property manage their own properties. They don't have any outside clients, right? So that's a good way to avoid somebody. If shit hits the fan and they got to feed their family, they're going to go get, you know, if it's a zombie apocalypse, I don't care how nice the other person is. And there's one bean, a can of beans and your family is about to die of starvation. And the other guy is such a nice guy and his family is about to die of starvation. Trust me, they're going to fight it out. They're going to fight it out for the can of beans. I'm just telling you.
Right.
I'd be like, oh, no, take it. I'll let my family die. No, they're going to fight it out. So human nature in a way takes over in the survival mode, right? And but if there's no conflict of interest, then it's a lot better if they only manage their own portfolio and they have a construction manager or a construction company that only does their portfolio, right? So then they can't really do anything else because all the money that comes in, they save, it goes, they don't make any money out of the property management or the construction. That would be very key. Just enough to pay all the salaries and all the profits go to their investors and all the profits go to the syndication. But somebody could say, hey, look, this is a separate business. I got to make a profit. This is a separate business. I got to make a profit. It's doable, but it's a tough position to be in for sure.
Yeah. Yep. We're going to wrap up today's show. On the next one, we're going to talk about the pros and cons of the different asset classes. I know today we mentioned a lot about multifamily, but there's a lot of asset classes out there that are not in trouble right now, that are thriving right now. And so we're going to go into the different asset classes here. So with that, Javier, please wrap us up.
Yeah. Now that our chickens have hatched, let's make some chicken soup. And if they don't hatch, let's make an egg sandwich. So anyways, I'm Javier, your host, along with Tim Mai. Don't lose your shirt.
All right. See you, everyone.
This has been The Naked Truth. Our mission is to give it to you raw. If you got value from this episode, you're invited to leave an honest written review and share this episode with a friend. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.